Thank you, Larry, and good afternoon, everyone. While I was watching TV one day, one of the characters said something, and it was interesting to me. It was a word I'd never heard used that way, and I didn't understand what it meant, so I had to look it up. The character, someone was saying something to comfort them, some little saying, and the character was kind of direct. He said, enough with the bromides. I need to talk about, some important stuff. And so I thought, I'm going to look this up. And so I looked up the word bromide. Before I give a definition, how many know what the definition of a bromide is? Okay.
All in the dark.
Well, that's a little disappointing. I thought there'd be some smarty pantses here that would have understood that.
Oh, I do now.
Bromide is something that's on the periodic table, so there's an element that's called a bromide. But the term that I'm interested in here, for the purposes of today's message, says a bromide typically refers to a trite or unoriginal idea or saying, something that's overused and often lacks real meaning. And so that's why he was saying, enough with the bromides. I don't need that kind of thing. I wanted to talk about, serious things. When it comes to the faith in the Bible, certain popular sayings, bromides, are often repeated in Christian culture or general spirituality, but they don't necessarily align with Scripture. So in the couple of tables or columns just below here, I list some what I would call false bromides, and others that are true bromides. And the ones that are false are not necessarily false all the time, but very often they are. Sayings like, all roads lead to God. Again, that can be comforting for someone, because different people might not, for example, follow a church path to God. And so saying that all roads lead to God can be a comforting thing, but it's not the truth. Do what makes you happy. Only God can judge me. Again, you can see where these ideas come, and very often they kind of ring true, that, oh yeah, I understand what they're getting at. If you have faith, you'll never suffer. So those ones fall in the category of what I would say, questionable bromides are probably false in many cases. Some cases they might be true, but in many cases they're not. Some that I thought fall into the true range are things like, honesty is the best policy. You reap what you sow. You can't please everyone. Life isn't fair. The only constant in life is change. All of those seem to ring true for me. So today's message is an equipping message. It's meant to give you something that you can put in your spiritual toolbox and carry around with you. It'll help sharpen our minds and our thinking, and it ties in very closely with one of the verses used very often in the Church of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And so, from this day forward, when you hear bromides, or when you are trying to comfort someone else and a bromide might come to your mind as something you might say to them, hopefully today's message will come to mind so that the words that you say will ring true. Humans are wired to look for shortcuts in our thinking. And when we accept false ideas into our mind, that's like building blocks that are not going to help the building that we're making. We're vulnerable to reaching wrong conclusions, giving people poor advice or poor encouragement. Again, our goal is to help someone, and some of these little trite sayings can be comforting or it can help, but sometimes it has an unintended effect. Giving people advice or poor encouragement can be a problem because people are often crippled by these ideas into accepting and stopping at superficial ideas and not probing and exploring deeper thoughts and wisdom. And we'll look at many examples of that this afternoon. At the bottom of the page, I have the list of the doctrines for the Church of God, all the different categories they fall in. And this was an interesting one, because I was trying to scratch my head and figure out where does this sermon fit into the doctrines of the Church. And as you see from the color printer that I used, there are a couple spots that I circled. Wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I would suggest this sermon falls under the category of wisdom. And it's also would fall under the category of virtues. So by not using bromides inappropriately, we are both practicing truth and learning wisdom at the same time. So to start out, I thought I would start with a dozen common bromides that don't agree with Scripture, along with what the Bible actually says. First one, I think we heard a couple minutes ago, where I say, follow your heart. And how often, you know, can you think of any times where you might have said that to someone, or heard that said? I try to think of it in terms of MAP candidate Stefan, counseling someone. Maybe someone's having challenges in the relationship and their personal trainer is such a good person. Their husband or wife is just not so good. And Stefan digs out this little word of wisdom. Well, follow your heart.
You're right.
That would be terrible. The bromide meaning says, trust your feelings. They'll guide you to truth and happiness. And we understand that no, we don't want to do that. The contradiction from Scripture, Jeremiah 17:9, says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Mm-hmm. So the idea of follow your heart is not always a scriptural concept. Sometimes following your heart's okay. Stefan?
I wouldn't say that, by the way.
Excellent point. I think half of the giggles was realizing Stefan is not going to give that advice to anyone. The truth of the saying, the heart can be deceptive, and we need God's word and spirit to lead us rightly. A second bromide, we're all God's children. It's interesting, Matthew is talking about, you know, visiting with various Church of God groups, and that's awesome, because we believe that God's Spirit is working with His people. And they're not just people in the Church of God International. We hope that all the Churches of God have God's Spirit working with them.
Amen.
But we understand that not all Christian churches necessarily have God working with them, because we can see that the teachings, the doctrines, the practices of some of those other churches are not in alignment with what Scripture says. Today being an example, most Christian churches don't keep the Sabbath. That's one of the Ten Commandments, but they choose to have other reasons to say that, oh, we don't have to. So, the idea of we're all God's children, the contradiction is, what the bromide means is that all humans are automatically God's spiritual children. And some people believe that. But Scripture says in 1 John 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. So it wasn't everyone. And in 1 John 3:10 it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So there's some clear scriptures that talk about, God does have children, he does have people that he works with, but it's not everybody. It can be comforting to comfort someone to say, we're all God's children. So this criminal who did all these horrible things and he's died, well, he's one of God's children too, and you can use that to try to encourage them, but it's not the truth. And so we have to be careful with bromides. The truth is, we become God's children through faith and obedience and not by default. A third bromide, everything happens for a reason. Now that sounds pretty familiar. Is that something you might have said to somebody or someone might have said to you at some point? You might have seen it on TV. What the bromide means is all things are orchestrated by God in a purposeful way, even evil things. And that's not correct. The contradiction, Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. And in Lamentations 3:33, he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So when it comes to evil, God is not part of that. But a bromide that says everything happens for a reason kind of implies that God is super controlling of everything that ever happens on planet Earth. And that's not the truth. Things, you know, God directs certain things so that he can fulfill his purpose, but not every event can be blamed on God. Another bromide, to thine own self be true. And that sounds, again, it sounds lofty and wise. What's the problem with that? That bromide says, be authentic to yourself above all else. The contradiction, Matthew 16:24, Jesus says something. He says to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So the idea of, just be good to yourself, is not the advice that Christ was giving. He's saying, to follow him, you may be denying yourself. And so, following Christ, the truth, means denying self and not indulging in it necessarily. A fifth bromide, God will never give you more than you can handle. What it means is, you'll never be overwhelmed or need to rely on others or God. God's going to make sure that you can handle everything. The contradiction, 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul was saying, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. So there are some trials that Paul was in that were more than he could handle. It was beyond, he despaired even of living. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So again, this is when Paul was praying for a healing for his eyesight, and God was saying, no. my grace is sufficient, and you need to endure this. So the truth is that God allows us to be overwhelmed sometimes so that we rely on him. And here's an interesting one, number 6, that says, judge not. So again, usually when you're caught doing something and you're trying to get out of it, you're telling people, don't be judging me, judge not. And again, people might point to Matthew 7:1. Jesus said this, This isn't just Jim saying this. This is words of Jesus. Judge not. The bromide meaning says, never assess anyone else's actions or beliefs. However, the context Jesus was using it in had to do with, a sliver in your brother's eye, and you have a beam in your own eye. And so the idea of you judging other people is foolishness because you have more problems than they do. So the contradiction to this idea of judge not, John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So John is saying that judging is okay. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:15 says the spiritual man judges all things. So the truth is we are called to judge rightly, not self-righteously or hypocritically. Bromide number 7, all roads lead to God. The meaning, all religions or belief systems are equally valid paths to God. And it's a comforting thought. It's wrong. The contradiction, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one path to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. So all these religions that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ don't have the words of salvation with them. Point number 8. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. And again, does that make sense? Is that something that you might say to someone or might hear somebody say? It doesn't matter, as long as you're sincere, that you know you feel it in your heart. The meaning, sincerity is more important than truth. The contradiction from Scripture, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So the idea is that, you know, just being sincere about something doesn't make up for it not being correct. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Here's another interesting one. Money is the root of all evil. So the bromide meaning says that having money is evil. Wealth itself is sinful. The contradiction, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So again, Scripture clarifies and makes it more clear what is trying to be said. The truth is, it's the love of money, greed, that leads to evil, not money itself. Point number 10, God won't give you more than you can handle. Hold on there. I've heard that before. That sounds very comforting. God won't give you more than you can handle. What do you mean by that, Jim? It's often confused with temptation. The bromide meaning says life's trials will never exceed your ability to manage them. The contradiction, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, doesn't say God won't give you more anything. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, except that is common to man. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape. So it's not necessarily a blanket that nothing can ever overcome you. It's temptation is not going to overcome you. And in 2 Corinthians 1:8, we were burdened beyond measure so that we despaired even of life. So there's things in life that can overtake you and become a giant burden upon you. So the truth is that God won't let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But trials can push you beyond your own strength so that you will depend on God. Point 11, bromide number 11. What's true for you is true for you. And what's true for me is true for me. So the bromide meaning, truth is subjective and based on personal experience. And the contradiction, John 17:17, Christ says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So God's word is truth. And Jesus in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the truth. And so the idea that the true saying is that truth is absolute. It's not just, you know, what you can do what you want and I'll do what I want. Truth is absolute, what's listed in Scripture. And it's rooted in God's word, not personal opinion. And the last of these dozen bromides, just to give us a sense of what bromides are and how some of them can be really deceptive. Number 12. The universe is trying to tell me something. So I don't know if you've ever heard someone using that kind of phraseology. What it means is the universe has will, intention, or power to guide your life. The contradiction, Psalm 19:1, The heavens declare God's glory. So sometimes the universe there is a euphemism. We don't want to say God, and we don't want to give God credit for anything. And so we'll just say the universe, this, you know, abstract idea out there. Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6. Thus says the Eternal, I'm the Lord and there is no other. So the truth is that the universe is creation, not creator. God speaks, not the stars. So as we're talking about bromides, the other term that probably is more familiar to people is the idea of conventional wisdom. And bromides are often using little bits of conventional wisdom. And again, for a definition, conventional wisdom refers to beliefs, ideas, or explanations that are widely accepted as true by the general public or a particular group, even if they're not necessarily accurate, biblical, or based on critical thinking. So conventional wisdom often has the same problem as bromides. We often, based on tradition, or conventional wisdom is often based on tradition or repetition. You hear these things over and over again, and so you don't even question them. It's just second nature. They're often unquestioned because everybody says it. So, you know, it must be true. Everybody says these things. And the last one is that it's passed down in culture, media, or even religious circles. But just because something is widely believed doesn't make it right. So here's some examples of conventional wisdom in general life. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's often accepted as fact, but research shows that it's not universally true for all body types or lifestyles. Another one, you need to go to college to be successful. It's a heavily promoted idea, but many succeed via trades, entrepreneurship, or non-traditional paths. Money can't buy happiness. It's partially true, but studies show financial stability does affect well-being, especially if you're in poverty. I know when I was in, high school, might have even been public school, you know, the teachers would talk about, you know what the number one problem in marriages is?
Money.
Arguments over money and disagreements about handling money. And so again, there's often other conventional wisdom that comes into play with this that, money can't buy happiness, but that's said by people that don't have any money or whatever. Another one, nice guys finish last. It's a common saying, and again, it's often used in sports where, you know, you have this big monster team of football players and, you know, you're not there to be a nice guy, you're there to, you know, get that football and carry it down the field. But it gets used, you know, even about, you know, relationships where, you know, someone has to choose between a couple of different guys and one's a real player and stuff and the other is just a nice guy and, well, nice guys finish last. It's a common saying, but it assumes kindness leads to failure. And that's contradicted by examples of strong, kind leaders. And the last one here, opposites attract. I know there's a song about opposites attract. Paula Abdul sings that one. So the idea is that, if you're a quiet person, then you'll probably marry someone that's very loud and boisterous. And if you're, opposites. Opposites attract. And again, the case here is that sometimes they do, but these are not universal. Because often what happens is you take these and then you try to apply them universally. So sometimes opposites attract, but research shows that shared values create longer lasting relationships than. So rather than being the opposite of the person you're marrying, having shared values is often more important. So why does this stuff matter? I mean, why are we doing a sermon on this subject? Bromides, or conventional wisdom, is often comfortable. but it's not always true, biblical, or wise. As believers, we're called to test everything. That 1 Thessalonians verse. Not just follow the crowd. So to dig deeper and explore this topic deeper, what are the characteristics of a bromide that make them effective to deceive? Because very often we'll hear them and accept them, or we'll say them to people and they accept it. What makes them effective in deceiving? Bromides are usually intended to comfort or placate, but often used thoughtlessly in the context of deception, because again, our intent might not be to deceive someone, but it might be to, you know, try to quiet a situation or to say something to, to fill a gap. Some people, though, use them intentionally to deceive. They want to shut down. You know, only God can judge me. You stop talking. So sometimes bromides can be used in the context of deception, where someone's trying to pull one over on you. So they can be effective because they can mask manipulation under the guise of familiarity. You know, everyone believes this, or trying to comfort someone. So let's look at some of these aspects of bromides that provide this. First, familiarity. Bromides are cliches, commonplace phrases people have heard many times. Familiarity breeds trust. People let their guard down when they hear something that sounds right. So often it gets below your analyzing, you're being skeptical about everything you hear. Oh, okay, I've heard this before, and it just slips in. And again, it becomes a building block to ideas that you form. And so that's why it's dangerous to let wrong ideas into your mind. It passes through without getting challenged. A second point is that bromides have a non-threatening tone. They're often warm and comforting or optimistic. This disarms skepticism even when the message lacks substance or truth. Third, emotional appeal. They appeal to feelings rather than facts. Everything happens for a reason. When emotions are engaged, critical thinking is often bypassed. Fourth point is vagueness. Bromides are generally broad or ambiguous. It is what it is. That's very wise. Say that again, Jim. It is what it is. Their lack of specificity makes them harder to challenge or disprove. Moral or philosophical overtones. Many bromides sound wise or virtuous. Good things come to those who wait. This often leads to a false sense of authority or profundity. That's very profound. Good things come to those who wait. It's telling people delay, not to you have to get out and do something. And again, that might be to your advantage to try to get someone to sit back and not take action right away. So using that bromide is giving them advice on what they should do. Implied universality. They suggest the statement applies to all people or all situations, when they don't. This makes them seem like timeless truths, even if they're not relevant. A seventh point of bromides, deflection or closure. They can be used to end discussions or avoid deeper questions. Let's agree to disagree. Which is a way of saying, stop talking about this. We're agreeing to disagree, and so we're not going to explore the idea further. To come to, let the true ideas rise to the top in our discussion. We're shutting it down by saying, let's agree to disagree. This limits further inquiry or critical examination. Number eight, social acceptance. Because they're commonly used, questioning them can make one seem contrary or difficult. So, if you try to say something against one of these nifty bromides, well, you're just disagreeable. You're a crabby old person. So people often accept them to avoid conflict. And I have a few boxes that I created in this handout I tried to put the rhenium, the significant stuff, inside the box. So in essence, bromides deceive, not because they lie directly, but because they superficially satisfy the need for meaning, comfort, or wisdom without offering real substance. And we want to be people of substance. When we're talking with someone or being comforted or comforting someone, we want to offer substance, something that they can hang on to, not something fluffy that might make them feel good for 10 seconds, but not really have any meaning. So let's look at how bromides are used deceptively in real life, in politics, in advertising, with a few examples of each. In real life, everything happens for a reason. The deceptive use, it's used to shut down discussion about suffering or injustice. It prevents critical engagement or action by implying a higher purpose without evidence. So, you know, why did somebody break into my house, or why did you do that mean thing? You know, you stole something from me. Everything happens for a reason. Ideally, we want to discuss it before. I want to know what the reason is. Another example from real life, time heals all wounds. The deceptive use that offers false hope or encourages passivity. Be passive. Don't try to do anything. Just let time take this problem away. So the effect, it minimizes real pain or trauma that may require active healing or help. And in honor of the election happening on Monday, politics. Some things you might hear in the political arena. We're doing it for the greater good. The deceptive use, it's used to justify harmful policies or violation of rights. So, you know, okay, Mr. Trudeau, why did you, enact the War Measures Act? We did it for the greater good. Which means, that's the only answer you're getting, and stop talking about it. That was the answer. And so the idea wasn't explored. You're not learning anything from it, and he's not learning anything from it. Freedom isn't free. The deceptive use is to silence criticism of military action or spending. The effect is it wraps controversial actions in patriotism, making them harder to challenge. Freedom isn't free, so stop talking about why we did what we did. Tough decisions need to be made. So again, instead of exploring the tough decision and what other options might have existed, you just use the little bromide, and that shuts down your ability to talk about it now. And this one's popular for this year's election. It's time for change. The deceptive use, that's a common campaign slogan with no real policy behind it. So change is an idea, but it's not, here's the specific things we're changing. The effect is it taps into general dissatisfaction without offering solutions. So we want to change because there's all these problems here, but we're not going to talk about those. We're just going to talk about how change is going to fix it. In advertising, some bromides you might encounter, because you're worth it. I don't know if everyone remembers the hair coloring commercials, Preference by L'Oreal. It's the most expensive hair color in the world, but I'm worth it. The deceptive use, as it suggests, self-worth is linked to buying a product. So I buy the most expensive hair color in the world because I'm like that. I'm the best. The effect is it creates emotional attachment to consuming this product. Another advertising slogan, or bromide you might hear, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. The deceptive use sounds logical and appealing, but it's vague and unverifiable. It's not necessarily saying that Papa John's has better ingredients or better pizza, but it sounds like it makes sense, and so it's a nifty ad. And number three is a Nike commercial where they just put the words, just do it. They have a picture of a running shoe and a just do it. And so on all of the lots of the Nike posters and advertisements and things like that, it's this little slogan, just do it. Has nothing to do with the quality of the running shoe, the durability of the running shoe, or anything about the running shoe. Instead, it appeals to identity and aspiration more than actual product. So once again, going deeper. When used intentionally, bromides serve as stealthy gateways into more sophisticated forms of manipulation. They overlap with tools like propaganda and gaslighting and even spiritual manipulation. So let's explore some of those areas of bromides as it gets a little more nefarious, a little more evil and manipulative. Propaganda and bromides. Again, to start with the definition, propaganda aims to shape mass opinion through repetition and emotional appeal. Bromides fit perfectly because they reduce complexity. The bromide. If you're not with us, you're against us. The purpose is it forces binary thinking. It's one or the other. And it simplifies moral landscapes. And again, it's an interesting one because Christ used that example in Mark 9:40 and Luke 9:50, where he says that he's not against us, is for us. But the thing is that when Christ uses it, he uses it in the saying the opposite thing. So it's not if you're not with us, you're against us, you're an enemy. Christ used it to say, if you're not against us, then you're with us. So you know, you don't need to worry about those people. You worry about the enemies that are attacking you, but those that are, so just a little flip on the idea, but it's determining who's going to be your friend versus who's going to be your enemy. Another one of propaganda is to create a false sense of unity. We're all in this together. The problem with that one is it suppresses individual needs or dissent under the illusion of shared struggle. So again, you might have some special needs, but we're going to ignore that because we're all in this together. And so people are going to have to do with less and suffer, but it's all part of the propaganda of building this unity. And another one is to appear apolitical. Propaganda often hides behind innocent-sounding sayings to deflect criticism. Gaslighting, a definition for that, is psychological manipulation that makes someone question their own reality. So I think gaslighting came from a movie where a husband was trying to deceive his wife, and he was just changing up things, and so she was going crazy because her world, like things that she were sure of, all of a sudden weren't happening that way or didn't work out. And so it was psychological manipulation. And again, it happens today where things that 2 or 3 years ago we were pretty sure of, and now all of a sudden we're not so sure of anymore. So things have been manipulated to muddle our thinking. So bromides can reinforce gaslighting by invalidating genuine concerns. First example, dismiss experience. The bromide, you're overreacting. Just think positive. So again, something bad's happening. You're trying to say something bad is happening. And they come back with, you're overreacting. Just be positive. Again, the intent is to shut down any analysis or criticism and be part of the team. Think positive. That bromide cripples any action that we might go forward with. Another example is to control the narrative. Let's not dwell on the past. So again, if we're speaking about our company, we used to be the number one company in North America, and now we're in last place, and we've lost millions and millions of dollars, and we're almost about ready to go bankrupt. Let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about moving forward. Again, there are lots of lessons you could learn from looking at the past. Mistakes that you don't want to make again. And so we want to look at the past. But this bromide sounds effective. It sounds good. It's trying to cripple your action. So it erases accountability, rewrites history in favor of the manipulator. And the last area is spiritual manipulation here. In religious or spiritual contexts, bromides can cloak control or abuse under the veil of wisdom or divine authority. One use is to enforce submission. The bromide, touch not the Lord's anointed. The idea there is you don't say anything bad about the minister. That's God's anointed, and so don't say anything bad about him. The effect is it shields leaders from scrutiny, and it discourages questioning, which should not happen. It can also be used to promote passive endurance. God will never give you more than you can handle. And we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that's talking about temptation. It's not talking about all the other things that might come along that might be overwhelming to people. So it encourages silence or suffering under injustice rather than seeking help or change. And other spiritual manipulation can be emotional pacifiers. The bromide, let go and let God. I don't know if anyone has ever heard that one, but it's the idea of just give your problems to God and wipe your hands off, let him take care of it. Let go. While possibly well-intentioned, it can be used to discourage action or responsibility. So again, very often, people need to be engaging and doing things, and so that kind of advice would be terrible. So again, we have another box here. It talks about the deceptive power of tone over truth. What makes bromides truly slippery is that they sound good. Even when they mean nothing or hide harm, they often appeal to emotion over logic. They disarm with familiarity. I've heard that before, so it must be true. And it offers closure without resolution. This idea let's not look at the past. Don't dwell on the past. Offer closure, but it doesn't resolve what might have happened. So now, once again, digging deeply, the next thing is, how do we counter bromides effectively? If somebody is using it intentionally, you know that they're just trying to manipulate you. You want to be able to defend yourself against that. And even if someone is sincere and comes up to you and sincerely uses one, maybe there's an opportunity for you to help them break out of this simplistic thinking and engage in some of these topics that might be discussed or uncomfortable. And so it's an opportunity for us to put some tools in our toolkit in dealing whenever we hear bromides. Again, after this sermon, you'll probably never hear one again. So how to counter bromides effectively, especially when they're being used to manipulate, silence, or redirect in relationships, media, or spiritual spaces? The key is not just calling them out, but gracefully disarming them while keeping your power and clarity. So here's an example in relationships. Manipulators may use bromides to shut down difficult conversations or to gaslight. The tactic? Call out the vague. The bromide. So this is in a relationship. You're just too sensitive. So again, it's meant to shut down conversation about whatever is being talked about. The counter, I hear that a lot. But what specifically did I say or do that felt that way to you? So again, by posing a question, when someone's trying to shut it down, you're not attacking the bromide or attacking the person. Instead, you're saying, I hear that, but what specifically can, and again, what you're getting is away from these lofty, vague ideas into very specific thinking. So it shifts the conversation from vague judgment to specific dialogue and puts the burden of clarity back where it belongs. Another tactic, refuse what's called closure theater. The idea, let's not dwell on the past. Again, I want to shut down. I don't want to talk about this. I want to shut it down. Let's not dwell on the past. Nice sounding thing. The counter to it, I'm open to moving forward, but this isn't dwelling. It's processing. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. So again, you're not disagreeing. You're not being disagreeable. Now, I'm open to moving forward, but this isn't dwelling. It's processing. So, you know, help me to process, you know, this situation that we're talking about. So in relationships, bromides can be sometimes used to shut down a discussion, and this is a way of re-engaging. In media or politics, politicians and public figures use bromides to sound profound without offering substance. Ask for the receipts. The bromide. We're working hard for families. The counter. That sounds good, but can you point to specific policies or actions that back that up? So again, get them away from the generality and have them speak specifically. Another tactic, identify the hidden binary. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem. That's a false dichotomy. What about people who disagree on the solution but still want what's best? So it exposes some manipulation by oversimplification. What's happening here? You're either part of the solution or the problem. Well, you know what? We all want to be part of the solution, but we might not agree with the same things that you're proposing. And so what we need to do is discuss them, not have this shut down discussion. In spiritual settings, bromides in faith communities can be the hardest to challenge because they're often cloaked in sacred language. The tactic, ground in scripture. Don't question leadership, just have faith. The counter to that, I respect leadership, but even in scripture, prophets questioned kings. Faith doesn't mean silence, it means truth spoken in love. So again, clarify that you're not just attacking, but you're trying to, you know, to work and come to a right conclusion, dealing with truth, not just shutting down. Another example is distinguishing comfort from truth. The bromide, God has a plan you don't need to understand. The counter, that might be true. So again, you're not attacking the bromide. But doesn't God also call us to seek wisdom, ask and knock? So again, by applying a bit of wisdom when you're... Because you never know where these bromides are going to be. We don't have a total list of here's every bromide, and we can all now memorize here's how to counter each one. It's going to depend on the situation, but hopefully you'll have a few tools from this message to help you spot, oh, okay, I really don't agree with what that bromide is saying. How is it that I can re-engage this person so that we can talk it out more? And so, once again, we have some text that's circled in a box. The core mindset, ask, clarify, and expose. When you're encountered with a bromide, there's three things that you can do. Ask for clarity. What do you mean by that? Request specifics. Can you give me an example? And then expose the function. That sounds comforting, but is it helping or avoiding? So those three tips. And then another box, because there's a bonus tip. Don't fight the phrase, redirect the frame. Again, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the concept of framing a discussion on something. And so I think I first encountered it with the idea of gay rights. So again, in the past, they used to talk about homosexuals and blah, blah, blah. But then it became gay rights. Well, gay is kind of happy sounding, and everyone deserves rights.
Right.
And so by reframing, instead of talking about, the Bible says homosexuality is sin, instead of that, you're reframing it. Now we have to talk about this, because they shifted the frame over to here because of the words they're choosing to use to describe it. Similar with abortion. Is it, there's the idea of pro-life, and then there's, they don't talk about pro-death, they talk about, women's rights and stuff like that. And so, again, the intent there is to frame. And so here we're talking about redirecting the frame. Instead of arguing with the bromide itself, reframe the conversation. For example, I get that things happen for a reason can be comforting, but I'm trying to understand how we grow from what actually happened, not just wrap it in a bow. Now that you've shifted from cliche to clarity without triggering defensiveness. So again, the idea is watch when people are trying to frame how they're going to want to talk about a subject, because if they get to control the frame, it's going to be much more difficult to discuss. So on this next page, I have what's called a bromide countering cheat sheet, where I list a bunch of bromides, and I go through what the bromide is really doing and how you can respond to it. So again, this is not a complete list of every bromide that's ever been uttered on planet Earth, but it is a number of them, and so it will give you a place to start. And again, I'm not going to cover all of this. I'll just read one or two, and then we'll continue on. So the second one there, it is what it is. what the bromide is doing is it ends conversation avoiding responsibility. And the counter to that is to say, sure, but what can we do about it now? So again, bring it from being something vague and not really an explanation of anything to something that's very focused. What can we do to learn from this? And the idea of don't rock the boat. The intent of that is it silences dissent and protects the status quo. And then a response, sometimes rocking the boat is what keeps it from sinking. another one, let's agree to disagree. The purpose of it is to end disagreement without resolving anything. And a way that you can better address it is to say, I'm open to peace, but can we at least understand where we differ? So again, let's explore this a little further so that we understand it better. And there's one near the bottom. Good vibes only. Okay, we want agreement, and we want to be positive in this meeting. We don't want to have negative people. Only good vibes in this room. It avoids hard emotions. And it's an example of toxic positivity, where everyone's positive, but they're not accomplishing anything. And what can you do about that? Real connection includes all vibes, joy, pain, growth, and truth. So, at the bottom of the page, once again, we have a box, and it suggests use these tone tools. So the tone of the conversation that you're having. Somebody might say a bromide to you, and you might respond as follows. One way is to respond curious. Help me understand, what did you mean by that? When you're saying, it is what it is. I don't know what that means. And that, again, allows them to start to explore further. They have to go beyond the bromide and explain what it means. So being curious is one approach. Another is to be boundaried. That doesn't work for me. So again, someone's trying to shut down the discussion. Well, that doesn't work for me. Can we, continue? Can you explore it a little further? The idea of being grounded. What is the evidence? So instead of just, talk about something that's fluffy and is an idea up here. We want to, we want change in this country. Okay, but, what are you planning to do, and what is the evidence that that's going to work? And reframing. the idea there is, you know, could there be more to it? So if they're trying to talk about just this, you say, well, hold on, it's this problem. It's not just this. We're trying to cover more. On the last page, some closing scriptures that indicate that bromides are not always good, that call out the danger of cliche, unthinking, or manipulative language, which is exactly what bromides often are. While the Bible doesn't use the word bromide, since it's a modern term, it definitely warns against empty, flattering, or shallow speech, the kind of talk that sounds good but lacks truth or wisdom. In James 2:16, James is the guy who talks about faith without works is dead, that you need to be doing some stuff. We have the example of in James 2:16, and one of you says to them, so someone comes to your door and they're asking for help, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled. And he said, James says, what good is that? Because you haven't provided for any of their needs. So why this fits? It's an example of a textbook bromide. Be blessed without any action. James says it's useless and hypocritical to say kind things without backing it up. Jeremiah 6:14. They have also healed the hurt of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So the idea of politicians or church leaders, saying, everything is okay, peace, it's all good. When it is not good, why it fits as a bromide, it's a perfect example of a spiritual bromide. Leaders were offering comforting words instead of real solutions, and God called it out, saying, it's all good when, saying it's all good when it's not is not righteousness, it's deceit. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. So why it fits, thoughtless speech, even if it sounds kind or holy, can be wrong. Righteous people think before they speak, especially when others are hurting or confused. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hasty before the Lord. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Why it fits, hasty, good, feel-good phrases, especially in spiritual contexts, can be disrespectful or misleading. This verse encourages reverence and caution in speech. Two more. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Why it fits. Bromides often flatter or distract rather than comfort or confront truth. The Bible calls that kind of speech destructive. And using Jesus' words to close, Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus is speaking and he says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. And why it fits, Jesus warns against empty, repetitive words, even in prayer. Bromides are often just that, hollow words that replace real conversation with God or with others. So in closing, as we go through life, we have an opportunity to work with people. Different times we might hear bromides, and if the time is right, if the situation is appropriate, we can explore further.